turned to see who was calling him, one hand raised to his brow to shield his eyes. He recognized Terry O'Doole loping across the sand toward him, suit jacket swinging from one hand, shoes in the other, shirt unbuttoned, a big grin on his lantern-jawed face.
"What on earth are you doing here?"
Zack blurted as the lanky O'Doole caught up with him.
"Why the hell weren't you at the conference?" O'Doole shot back. "It was right around the corner from your office, for God's sake. You were invited, weren't you?"
Zack tried to keep the bitterness from showing.
"I was too busy, Terry. Couldn't make it."
"Too busy? Jogging?"
The hell of the GEC's security measures was that Zack was not allowed to tell anyone why he was not allowed to say anything.
"Come on," he pointed toward the refreshment stand up the beach. "I'll buy you a beer."
They talked about the conference, the papers delivered, the people who were there, as they sat in the shade of the refreshment stand's awning. Neither of them drank much of their beer.
"Everybody was asking for you," O'Doole said. "Brudnoy was especially disappointed that you didn't show up."
"Couldn't be helped," Zack muttered.
"Why not?"
"I told you, I'm too busy."
"Doing what?"
Zack did not answer.
"Your work's related to the greenhouse, isn't it?"
O'Doole probed, his eyes showing more curiosity than suspicion.
"We all expected you to give us the latest on what the new landers have found on Venus."
Zack gave a single shake of his head and reached for his beer.
"What the hell is it, Zack? What's wrong? This is me, Terry, remember? We used to make up limericks about Brudnoy when we were in grad school, remember? You can tell me."
"No," Zack said. "I can't."
"Why not?"
He gulped at the beer, almost strangled on it. Sputtering, he managed to choke out,
"Job security. I don't understand."
Zack coughed down the beer, cleared his throat. His old classmate was staring at him, alarmed, worried about him.
"Listen, Terry, you still go down to Antarctica every winter?" "It's summer down there."
"To McMurdo?"
"Yes, most of the time. I make a trip to the station at the pole now and again."
"I shouldn't be telling you even this much," Zack said, lowering his voice. "But you'd better start drawing up plans for evacuating those bases."
"Evacuate? McMurdo?"
"All the Antarctic bases."
"But why?"
Zack flicked a glance at the youngster running the refreshment stand. He was at the other end of the stand, chatting with a couple of bikini-clad teenagers.
"Because all the bases in Antarctica are sitting on top of a mile-thick sheet of ice."
"So?"
"So the ice isn't going to be there."
"What?"
"It's going to melt down, Terry. It's probably started melting already."
O'Doul's expression went from incredulous to thoughtful.
"Well, the Ross Shelf has thinned noticeably, but that's just a long-term climate swing. The ice will thicken up again with the next sunspot cycle."
Zack said nothing.
"Won't it?"
"Be prepared to evacuate, just in case the ice keeps on melting, regardless of the sunspot cycle."
"What are you trying to tell me?" O'Doole asked.
Zack got down from his stool.
"I've already told you too much. Got to get back to the office now. It was good to see you, Terry. Don't tell anybody you saw me, okay?"
He started trotting to the parking lot where he had left his car, leaving O'Doole standing there scratching his head.
"But you haven't even been here 2 weeks," Kate Williams said, nearly shouting.
Kimberly slumped in one of the chairs in front of Kate's desk.
"There's nothing to do here. It's a bore." "Nothing to do? What about flying in the big dome or low-G acrobatics? There's..."
"It's a bore," Kimberly snapped.
"Everybody up here is boring. A bunch of Japanese who stick to themselves and some Americans who are mostly engineer nerds. I don't need this. I want to go back."
Kate held her breath, trying to make herself as calm as possible before replying to her sister. In just 2 weeks, Kim had gained a healthy bit of weight, gotten some color in her cheeks. Good diet and regular exercise under the carefully metered full-spectrum lamps in the gym had done more for her than months in the rehab clinic.
"You can't go back," Kate said, keeping her voice soft and even. "There's no one back on Earth for you to go to, unless you want to return to the clinic."
Kimberly gave her a self-satisfied smile.
"Rafe invited me to visit him in Italy."
Kate felt her jaw drop open. The breath gushed out of her so hard she could not answer.
I'll be staying with his family, so it'll be okay. They have a beautiful place down below Naples. He's shown me pictures on the phone, and he even sent me a set of holograms. It's a gorgeous estate.
Absolutely not! Kate nearly screamed. You're not going to see him!
Kim's smile turned nasty.
Have I taken your boyfriend away from you?
I forbid it! You're not leaving the city! Hey, you don't own me!
Oh, no?
Where did you think you were going to get the fare?
Rafe will send it.
The hell he will! I'll impound it! You're still a minor, legally!
Kimberly's tawny eyes flashed with anger.
Then I'll raise the money myself.
And how are you going to do that? What kind of a job do you think you can get up here?
Same as anywhere.
Get out! Kate screamed. Get out of here, you little whore!
Smirking, Kim got to her feet and started for the door.
You're confined to your room, Kate called after her. I'm going to instruct security that you're not to be allowed out and no one but me is allowed in. You'll sit in there until I can talk some sense into you.
You're just jealous, Kim said, without a trace of anger. She was almost smiling as she spoke.
I thought you were finished with Rafe.
Well, anyway, he's finished with you now. She left, closing the door gently behind her. Kate sank her head in her hands.
Kimberly, Kimberly.
That bastard Rafe is just using you to keep his power over me. I've got to explain that to her, tell her the whole story. Will she believe me? Probably not. Can I keep her here, keep her from running back to Earth and into Rafe's arms? She sat up straighter in her desk chair. I'll keep Kimberly here no matter what it takes. If I have to break both her legs, I'll keep her out of that bastard's clutches, no matter what. No matter what.
She called security and explained that she wanted her sister confined to her room. The woman on the phone screen promised to send the robot to Kimberly's door. Then Kate leaned back in her chair and lowered the room's lights. For long hours, she reclined there, letting the chair's softly yielding surface soothe her, relax her. She drifted into a light, troubled sleep, and awoke when she sensed someone stepping into the office. Blinking her gummy eyes, she saw the figure of a man standing before the desk. In the shadowy light, she could not quite make out his face, but she knew who it was anyway.
Hello, Dan. I was wondering when you'd show up.
32. Sitting at my desk, drowsing, Dan saw. A line from Hamlet came to his mind. Now might I do it, Pat.
Kate stirred, eyes fluttering.
Hello, Dan. I was wondering when you'd show up.
As she rubbed the sleep from her eyes, he came around the desk. Resisting an urge to grab her and yank her out of his chair, Dan made himself sit on the corner of the desk. He folded his hands in his lap. Couldn't leave without saying goodbye, Scarlet.
You're leaving?
He nodded solemnly. Going back to Earth.
Then coming here was a pretty silly thing to do, Kate said.
I know.
But you couldn't leave without coming to see me,
she said, looking up at him.
Kate laughed softly.
I knew it. My security people went apeshit after you escaped.
But once you registered at the hotel, you knew about that?
That little old man you've got with you is pretty good at hacking into computers, but we've got the real experts.
Dan marveled at the news. You knew and you didn't do anything?
I wanted to see what Mr. Wilcox was up to. I didn't have to send anybody out searching for you.
I figured you'd come here sooner or later.
You couldn't stay away, could you?
No, I guess I couldn't. Leaning further back in the chair, Kate put her feet on the desk. Dan saw that she was wearing soft boots, and the clinging fabric of her slacks outlined her calves and thighs tantalizingly.
So what happens now? Kate asked.
You going to tear my clothes off and rape me?
Dan grinned down at her. I imagine your security people are already watching us, aren't they? How much of a show do you want to give them?
We're not being watched. Oh, the office is locked tight now. One-way locks. I had them installed right after your friends sprang you.
You can't get out until I call security to come in and open the door from the other side.
That's cozy.
We're not bugged either. I have my own people go over this office twice a day.
Curious, he asked, who would bug you? She laughed again.
Dan thought it sounded bitter. Lots of people bug me, Dan.